Ramsey TV.
Charles, I hate to break this to you, but I just heard that your girlfriend is dating another dog.
Morning. It's 5:30 in the morning on Thursday. And I'm wondering if you remember yesterday. Yesterday I told you that in the resurrection of the dead, and in the very near future, people are going to wish that they had been us. Because there are two kinds of people in this world. There are people who live for the moment. There are people who put all their eggs in the basket of this earth. And then there are those to whom God has given a vision and an expectation of future glory in Christ. I mentioned Steve McVeigh, who apparently is a fairly well-known so-called evangelist. Strange. How can anybody be called an evangelist if they don't know the evangel? And yet, I talked about how this guy would say things that got near to the truth, but he wouldn't cross the line because of fear of humanity, fear of his reputation, fear of losing his great congregation, fear of losing his job, possibly his wife, if he's married, I don't know, losing his income, all for the sake of temporary advantage. Well, I'm here this morning to talk about the deception of temporary advantage. It's all an illusion, people. It's all an illusion. But it's a really good illusion, isn't it? We're surrounded by what the world would call success stories. Oh yeah, success stories. People who have made it in this life, whether in finance, in industry, in beautiful families, in health, wealth, happiness. Good for them. But as Isaiah says, all flesh is grass. It withers, it goes away. Our Lord said it's better to store up riches in the heavens, that is, beyond the earth, than it is to store up riches or reputation here. And as we know, there's about to be a huge shift. When the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Someone once said to me, it's a shame, Martin, that your last name starts with the letter Z. Because when your books are on a bookshelf somewhere, you're the last guy in the alphabet. You're probably on the bottom shelf. And I said, well, you know, that's just fine with me. Because the last shall be first. It's an appropriate analogy. I happen to be the last in the alphabet. But many of us, all of us, are the last in nearly every competition in life. I want you to think of the first century saints. I want you to think of those who had, let's say, those who had belonged to Israel, those who were once famous in Judaism. I guess the prime example of that would be the Apostle Paul. He had all those advantages that people want in life. Reputation, education, vigor, zeal, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin. Oh, excuse me, tribe of Benjamin, huh? Say no more. And yet, when our Lord Jesus Christ, in his glorified body, called him on the road to Damascus, he was now living the ideal life, and it started on the ground, blind. Can you imagine that? A guy who had been numero uno in Jerusalem, the reputation of all reputations, starts his new life blind and on the ground. But the man becomes trained in the Spirit of God to understand that this is the beginning of his true life, of his spiritual life. On the ground, blinded, was the beginning of an expectation of a celestial calling. And from that day forward, this man would be maligned, ridiculed, stoned, beaten, sick, and eventually in jail, treated as a common criminal, which he was not. But imagine you're a first century believer in the body of Christ, and you too had come from a popular, noisy, bright, happy, energetic religion, and you had been, and you had an antenna for the truth, and you heard the call of Paul's gospel. You would have gone from a religion of sight, a religion of action, a religion of deeds, a religion of reputation. Even the Romans admitted that, well, Judaism is a legitimate religion, and they fairly protected it. But this, this was an outrage. So you align yourself with this man, this Paul, because he cuts through with a message from God. He cuts through the BS of life, the BS of busyness, of accomplishment, of wealth, of clawing and scratching to be number one. And he says, it is all refuse. It's all garbage in light of this expectation that is now given to us who had no expectation in this world. So you're one of these people, and your family thinks you're crazy. And they say, where did you hear this message that you will be one day seated among the celestials, that you above all people are justified from your sins, that all is now lawful for you, and that you are loved and completely accepted by God in spite of the fact that you are a sinner. And their next question is, who is your leader? Who is the man who told you these things? And you say, well, his name is Paul. Paul. Well, you might know him better as Saul, the Pharisee. Oh. That guy, yes. We've heard about that fool. Gave up everything. Was an up-and-comer, an accomplished man, a scholarly man, of great repute in Jerusalem. And he gave it all up for what? And you say, no, you don't understand. He didn't give it up. He was apprehended by another. He was arrested by the glorified Christ. And the glorified Christ himself spoke to him and gave him this gospel of the transcendent grace of God. Oh, Jesus talked to him. Yes, he did. Oh, he actually saw the glorified Christ. Oh, yes, he did. Well, where is this great man? Well, he's in jail. Let me get this straight. Your great leader, the president of your wacko calling, is in jail. Yes, he's in jail. But he didn't do anything wrong. Oh, he's innocent. That's right, he's innocent. And you should see the letters he's writing from jail. In fact, I have one here. Look at this. But they don't look at it. They turn away from it. They scoff at it. They hate it. They hate you because it flies in the face of everything that the world holds dear. But in the resurrection, the resurrection, in the resurrection, the mockers, the elites of this world, the high priests and the presidents, the administrators of every legitimate glory that the world holds dear, they will, at the resurrection, wish to hell that they had been apprehended themselves and sent to the ground blind for the glory that is about to be revealed in us.